This is HDN.
On the first day in August, I want to wake up by your side. After sleeping with you on the last night in July.
It's a brand new month. Well, actually not. It's August.
Yeah.
We're used to that. I've seen about 50 of them. But anyway, it is August the 1st in the Beaver Bank Bunker with Jamie and Lisa.
Hey, a new month is a great time to start a new habit. So why don't you try this? Listen to the podcast every day while you're in the shower.
Yeah.
That's a good habit to get into.
Yesterday's podcast, well, that would have had to have been a quick shower.
It would have been, yes. That would have qualified as a sponge bath.
That was a lot of fun. And who knows, the end of August, we might be doing the very same thing.
Could be. Hey, hats off to some local athletes doing very well at the Commonwealth Games. I know we don't hear a whole heck of a lot about what's going on over there, but let's see, gymnast Ellie Black from Halifax. She has captured silver in women's vault in the gymnastics, and she still has the opportunity to win two more medals today. And Jackie Foster. Remember
Jacqueline that Foster?
Name? Yes, she's a lawn bowler.
She's always been good at that. Jackie Foster, you know her from CTV Atlantic.
That is correct.
We know her as our intern 150 million years ago.
Yeah, and she is competing in lawn bowls over in Glasgow, Scotland.
Yeah.
And is still in the, she's still in order to get a medal of some description. She's still in the competition.
So. Go, Jackie, go.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Well, the Blue Nose 2 is now officially in the care and control of the province of Nova Scotia, and it's still not fixed yet, and it's still not ready to sail.
Does it still have the solid concrete rudder?
They're working on it, yeah.
Was there no supervision? Was there none?
Well,
let's make it out of solid concrete. That'll work good, won't it?
Sounds good.
That'll steer the ship.
Still a work in progress. There could be some lawsuits that follow from that, but the news from this week is the fact that the province has taken over care and control of it, and it is now dockside at the Fisheries Museum in Lunenburg, so at least tourists can have a look-see. They can take pictures. They can talk to the crew. They still can't go on board, and it's still not going to sail this summer, but it is the next step to getting her back in full force, hopefully for next year. And I have a feeling there will be lots of lawsuits that come with this because they haven't quite decided who is to blame for this rudder problem, whether it was a design flaw, whether it was a construction problem. But anyway, it's all for the lawyers to figure out.
One guy wrote wood on a piece of paper, and the next guy thought that that meant concrete.
Well, in the you win some and you lose some department, let's go over the beach closures. Dingle Beach has reopened.
Yay, Dingle Beach.
But Shuby Beach has been closed for swimming. So no swimming down at Shuby Beach in Dartmouth. The bacteria levels are just way too high.
Now, does that go for the dog part of Shuby Beach, the other side of the park?
That is a good question.
No, people can't go in there because high bacteria levels, but Rover, go fetch the stick.
Yeah, I mean, it would stand to reason that the bacteria levels would not be good for dogs either.
Tell you what, if your dog is in there, it might be a good idea to hose your little mutt down afterwards.
Oh, exactly. All right, this is a very cool website that I stumbled across this week. It is called www.housecreep.com, H-O-U-S-E-C-R-E-E-P, housecreep, all one word, .com.
I want to know how you stumbled upon house creep. I was just looking for house creep.
No, I think I saw it in a press release that was sent out.
Okay.
This website goes through North America and lists all of the houses that are for sale and cross-references any illegal activity that may have taken place. Whether a death has taken place in a house that you are thinking about buying, drug busts, whatever.
Or both,
all of the above. But anyway, it's kind of interesting to click on some of the addresses that they have listed in the Metro Halifax area, and it lists all the police activity. And
what about our old house? Was there anything there?
It isn't up for sale, so it's only current houses that are listed.
Ah.
Yeah. So,
That is good because a lot of the time you don't really know what the history is. I think there either used to be a law or it's down in the States where you have to disclose if somebody killed themselves in the house. Like, that's the time you have to have full disclosure. Yeah. I know down in the States you have to, because I've heard people talking about that before on various shows, but not sure about here in Canada.
I don't ever remember in any of the houses that I've bought or sold being asked if there was ever a death.
That's the thing. If you ask, I think that there has to be full disclosure.
But I mean, wouldn't it stand to reason that when you fill out all the paperwork with your travel agent, you can fill it out with your travel agent, it probably wouldn't be worth much.
If you're buying a house through your travel agent, you got enough problems. You don't need to worry about dead bodies in houses.
But I mean, all the paperwork that you file with the real estate agent, I mean, I just remember when we sat down with Glenda and, you know, we had to do all the disclosure and, you know, any problems with the septic and any cracks in the foundation and blah, blah, blah. There was never any questions.
She didn't ask if anyone killed themselves.
There
in the
was
basement.
No questions about death and dismemberment. Nope.
Thank God.
Well, don't look in the crawl space. Yeah.
Well, that would be an interesting question because there should be. You know, there are a lot of people that are very freaked out by that. That would be the make it or break it.
Oh, God, that
thing.
Would be a absolutely.
Would you buy a house if you knew somebody had killed themselves?
I don't think it would bother me.
You know, you don't want to get stuck with an Amityville horror situation there. I mean.
No, that wouldn't bother me, I don't think.
Well, it sure as hell would bother a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, you know, okay, would it bother me if, you know,
I want to know. Real
still
estate.
Blood stains on the floor and on the ceiling, then yeah, okay.
Nobody killed themselves in our house, but I think we had some blood stains on the floor. That was stupid man stubbing his toe on the bed every 5 seconds. Well, if there's anybody in real estate or law that can get back to us on that one, I'd like to know, because I do know that there are places where you have to give full disclosure when it comes to things like that.
Hmm.
Canada might not be one of those places.
All right.
Whether it is a place or not, that's the website to go to. That way you can find out for yourself.
Yep. Hey, coming up on Monday, Canada is joining countries around the world in marking the declaration of the First World War. 100 years ago this week, World War I started, and Halifax is going to participate along with the UK and a bunch of countries throughout Europe in the Lights Out exercise, and it marks the entry into the war. Now, the campaign was inspired by British Foreign Secretary Sir Edward Grey's remarks about the outbreak of war in 1914. At the time, he said, "The lamps are going out all over Europe. We shall not see them lit again in our lifetime." So at 10 o'clock on Monday night, the town clock right on the Citadel will turn off its lights for 1 hour. The harbor bridges will turn off their lights on the McDonald, or the highlighting lights anyway, on the McDonald Bridge for the night. And Haligonians are encouraged to pay tribute to those who fought in the war by shutting out their lights at 10 o'clock.
And Stanfield Airport's going to shut off all the lights on all of the runways.
Yes, that's right.
God help those that are just in the middle of a landing. But
passengers getting on board Halifax-bound flights will all be given flashlights and told to direct them out the window upon arrival.
Off to the email bag. Good to hear from Ann Little, longtime listener. And she says, "Hi there. Caught up on all your podcasts last night. I was interested in Lisa's rant about the cable company and government departments not talking to each other."
Well,
that was your rant about Nova Scotia Power.
Yeah, Nova Scotia Power requiring my divorce decree and my marriage certificate in order to change my name on the power bill.
So here's Anne's letter.
Okay.
"I'm looking forward to turning 60 in January 2015. And so just after I turned 59, I put my application in for my Canada pension to start at the end of February 2015. On the application, I had to name my children and give their social security numbers. No problem with my son Stephen. He'll turn 40 this year, and I had his SIN number. However, my son Andrew Joseph Thompson died at the age of 4. Climbed a 4-foot fence and fell into a swimming pool.
Oh, what a sin.
Tragedy. So I just put on my application that my son had passed away prior to his applying for a SIN number.
Okay.
I send it off through the office of the Halifax Shopping Center thinking all was well. But 2 months later, got a letter from Canada Pension saying that they needed a copy of Andrew's birth and death certificate. If I ever had them, I'm sure I didn't have them when I went looking.
Oh,
so
no.
Off I trundled to Vital Statistics, had to pay $66 for his records. And I required both, even though his birth certificate was printed with the word deceased on it.
Unbelievable.
Then I had to get copies made. Then I had to have someone certify that they were true copies. That costs as well. With all the money grabs for certificates, certifications, and such, it is getting so bad now with the government bureaucracy that you now can't afford to live or to die. And she just says, you know, all the records are there in the database, so
yeah.
Why do you have to print them? Why can't they just, you know, have them there? But that's bureaucracy at its finest, I guess.
I'm going to go back even further than that. My question is, why in the name of God does Canada Pension need her adult children's names, birth dates, and social insurance numbers?
To receive a pension.
They're not the ones getting the pension. She is. Her social insurance number and birth date is the only thing that should be required.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many kids you have. You could have had like 80 kids.
What difference does that make?
As long as you're turning a certain age, you can start collecting your... Yeah, you're right.
That's bullshit. I'd be looking into that.
And thank you for that.
Kat Fulton sent us an email as well. She says, I've got the same thing going on with my power bills. Still in my married ex's name. Have thought similar things. Who's this person on the bill? Not me.
I bet you if everybody did that all at the same time and said, I have no idea who that person is.
Yeah. That's...
Nova Scotia Power would have to do something about this policy. They would.
I mean, I can understand the reasons behind it because I'm sure they have been burned more times than enough.
But... That's not the point.
No, the point is that as a customer, I have never once had a bum account.
Now, it'd be one thing if everybody asked you for that.
Yeah.
Because then you'd have your marriage certificate and your divorce decree, and you'd have that stuff handy, and you'd have to go and give that to everybody. But if you can get a passport, which it really is, that's the most precious of all documents.
Oh, I remember.
The hardest to attain. You know, you have to give them a drop of blood practically in order to get the passport. If you can even get that, then why the hell does Nova Scotia Power, of all companies, decide that, oh, well, no, it's not good enough for us. We need this.
Yeah. Well, that's crap. I remember back in the days before Nova Scotia had photo ID or photo driver's licenses.
Say that in an old woman's voice, will you?
I remember back in the day.
Yes, they didn't have photos. No, they used to do sketches of us. They'd have someone there, little caricatures. I remember those days, too, because when I first came to Nova Scotia, you guys didn't have pictures on your driver's licenses.
No, that's right.
That was hilarious, because we'd have pictures for years out west.
Yeah, and so there wasn't really a universal ID that people used, in particular 19-year-old people who were trying to get into bars and clubs.
That's right. When I first came here, everybody had a driver's license and an NSLC card.
That's right.
I'd never heard of such a beast before, but yeah, everybody, you had to have both of them.
Or you were supposed to be able to use a passport. And I remember showing my passport to a doorman at J.J. Rossi's and him telling me to buzz off. And
well, that's because who in their right mind would try to get into a bar passport?
I didn't have an NSLC.
I believe this is my passport to entry into this building.
This entry into this your premises? Country?
Could you stamp this for me when
that's right. I wish to enter Winetopia.
I wish to enter adulthood. Is this where I do it? Will you stamp my passport? I mean, you've probably never seen a passport before.
Well, yeah, seriously. The Neanderthal certainly looked like he didn't. But anyway, it was not too long after that I bit the bullet and actually went and got an NSLC.
That's crazy.
I mean, now, it cost money at that point, and I'd already had the passport. It was bought and paid for, so it's like, well, why would I pay money for a piece of ID when I can use this one and just get into the bar
anyway? Well, you found that out, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we long for the days where we need any kind of ID. I go to the liquor store and they're carding everybody right and left. And I'm standing there going, please, it would just so make my day. And it's like, yes, sir. You know, believe it or not, people who work at the NSLC, even old people, still get that feeling when they go up to the cashier like, oh my God, I hope I don't get carded because it's
just... I'm going to get busted.
Yeah, like, oh, got to look straight because we all feel like kids on the inside.
Yeah.
So to not even look twice is bad enough, but to call the person sir, that's just... You might as well just bury me outside in the parking lot.
And when they called you grandpa, that was the worst.
Not only did they not even look twice at me, not only did they call me sir, they offered to help me carry it to the car. Sir, would you like me to carry that? You're back and all, you know. And it was like a case of beer. It was nothing. Thanks, Sonny Jim. Think about it. The same institution makes young adults feel like they're trying to cheat something because they're too young. And it makes the older people feel like they're trying to cheat something because they shouldn't be doing this young person's activity because they're too damn old. I mean, there's that sweet spot between 30 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sweet spot.
You think so?
Yeah. Because some of us still get carded every once in a while. But if you don't, it doesn't matter because you're like, I'm an adult now.
Yeah.
They're not carding me. And it's still kind of new and it's kind of fun. Once you're in your 40s and it's like, then you start longing for anybody to look twice at you, you know.
Well, it was about a year ago. I stopped at the NSLC that's attached to our grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's the one that I've been going to for years. So, of course, I mean, the staff there have watched Bronwyn grow up. I mean,
you know how Norm would walk into Cheers?
Yeah.
That's the response Lisa gets when she goes to the NSLC.
But anyway, this one time I went in and Bronwyn stayed out front with the cart. And I was way down the back at the wine section. Surprise, surprise.
Really?
I know. Anyway, when I came up to the cash, the woman looks at me, looks at Bronwyn, looks back at me and says, I'll have to see some ID, ma'am. Bronwyn asked her if she would ID me when I came through the cash.
You have a nice kid. All right, that is our podcast for this Friday. Those of you who subscribe to the podcast, you might see a little extra bonus on your smartphone or wherever you're getting the podcast. And if you don't subscribe to the podcast and you're just clicking on this through Facebook or whatever, keep your eyes open because there is going to be a special edition of the podcast a little later on today, and it will contain everything that you need to know about Natal Day, where to go, what is on, what is off, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We'll divide it into three segments. So really, it is a must listen, whether you're a regular listener to the podcast or not. Now, the only thing that we can't do is tell you about cancellations, like if the fireworks are canceled, that type of thing. But we're going to put a link on our Facebook page.
Yes, we'll put a link to nataldate.org, which is the official website.
All right, so keep your eyes and ears open for that one, and we will be back on Tuesday after the long weekend.
Until then.